Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Monday, August 27, 2007, the only August 27, 2007 in the history of humanity. So let's continue to make it a greater one, something that we always encourage you beautiful humans to do, is to see the cup half full. And tonight we have a special guest online with us, the broadcaster of Chicago Cubs baseball on WGN Radio, Mr. Corey Provis. Corey!
Mr. Klein, how are you, sir?
I am doing wonderfully. What a privilege and honor it is to have you with us.
My pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I am doing great. I got my Cubbies hat on, the old 1914 logo. Psyched to go for this big Brewer series. We're going to get into a little Cubs baseball tonight, and you can email us your questions, as always, at coach@glennklineonline.com. That's coach@glennklineonline.com. But before we do that, we want to get into a little of our own personal history, Corey, because as you beautiful humans know, Dawn and I used to own Camp Menominee for Boys in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, and Corey and his brother John were longtime campers of ours. And Corey, you know, I see your resume on the WGN website, and it does not mention that you really got your start on WMEN Camp Menominee Radio, all camp, all day, and we need to do something about that.
Yeah, WMEN, Glenn, was really the start of everything, you know, getting up in the morning and announcing the 16A softball lineup is how this whole thing started, with Mark Bierman and Sal Goodman and some of the guys from way back when, and Scott Bronstein and later his younger brother, Hawkeye. So yeah, it all started with at 16A softball.
Now, I got my start in broadcasting at camp as well, because I used to have the PA out on the senior diamond announcing the games. And of course, at 12 years old, I had the tape recorder broadcasting the Blackhawk games and the Bears games and whatnot. And then when I went to high school, the high school that I went to, Maine East in Park Ridge, Illinois, had an actual on-the-air radio station. So I got to do 4 years of play-by-play on the air in basketball and football and baseball and soccer. How did you actually start your broadcast career?
Actually, Glenn, you know, it really truly began for me in high school. You know, at Highland Park High School in suburban Chicago, we did not have a radio station, but we did have kind of a public access TV station. And there was a class you could take each semester called Giants in Action, where students produced, wrote, and edited a monthly television show that appeared again on just the public access channel in Highland Park, Illinois. And I just got an itch to get involved my sophomore year, had some fun with that. It really wasn't sports related at that point. It was just to get some experience, and I actually did that twice. I did it once as a student, then they asked me back my junior year to be a teacher's advisor. So I did that twice, but my first real break, I guess you would say, in the sports genre came my senior year of high school, when I was just, kind of walking around the high school main lobby, and I saw the bulletin board, and there was a flyer that posted this show on Sports Channel Chicago. They were going to debut this new show called Schoolyard Jam. It was going to be a monthly news magazine show focusing on high school athletics.
I remember that.
They were looking for some reporters and anchors, and you had to go to some place to audition. I said, this is perfect. He said, because I knew at this point where I wanted to go to school, where I wanted to go to college, and I had a pretty good idea as far as what I wanted to do for a living. So this seemed like somebody that just fell into my lap, if you will, and I auditioned for that, and then I got asked back twice for callbacks to the Sports Channel's headquarters that then, at that point, we're in Oak Park, just outside Chicago, west part of the city. And eventually I landed the lead reporter's role for this monthly news magazine show. And here I was, 17 years old, on the third largest market in the country, getting just invaluable experience, covering everything from high school football to a bowling phenom in the southern part of the state to doing a wide, wide variety of different events. And that was truly a tremendous, you know, opportunity for me, again, just 17 years old, and that, you know, got me going right away in college. And at that point, I got into Syracuse University, and they've got a wonderful, wonderful broadcasting program, and I got in right away to that, started working at WAER Radio in college, and was covering Syracuse football, basketball, and lacrosse starting my freshman year. So that's really how it all started, Glenn. It really stemmed back to my time in high school, starting first with that Giants in Action program, but then later on working on that Schoolyard Jam program for Sports Channel Chicago.
Now, when did you start? How old were you when you started at Menominee, Corey?
Oh, Glenn, I was probably 9.
Because yeah, I remember being in your kitchen and talking to your mom about camp for you and John. And just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, that you can overcome anything. Now, Corey made a career decision to go into broadcasting, but you had a speech impediment when you were a kid.
Sure did.
And Corey Provis at camp was known as Coey Provis.
Yep, and once in a while, you know, every now and then, Glenn, I'll still kind of stumble over my R's. Or, you know, thank goodness I never got a job working hockey in Detroit, because a nightmare for me would be doing the Red Wings. To say that over and over and over again, it would be like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck doing radio in Detroit.
You would just call them the Wings and be done with it.
I'd call them the Wings or Detroit or Hockey Town USA. I would never say the Red Wings. That's one of those words that I just to this day can't say.
That's awesome. Well, we were with John, of course, at Menominee's 20th annual fantasy camp. Now that you got this gig with the Cubs, you'll probably never be able to make fantasy camp.
Yeah, you know, Glenn, I went once a couple years ago when my schedule kind of allowed it, but now my summers are pretty much tied up, so I'll be here in spirit.
All right, so, and of course, everybody's psyched for you and so excited for you. I mean, you're 29 years old. You're doing play-by-play on WGN. You basically host the thing with Pat Hughes and Ron Santo. And when I was in high school at the aforementioned WMTH, we had an on-the-air radio station. I used to do a weekly interview show. And so I used to interview all the sports people I could get a hold of. And I used to interview Jim Durham. I went down and interviewed George Halas down in his office. And I interviewed Vince Lloyd. Remember Vince? Well, of course you know who
Vince
Lloyd is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Vince Lloyd.
Lou Boudreaux, sure.
Great play-by-play man. He lived in Glenview, just literally a few miles from where I was living in Morton Grove. And he had me to his house, and I interviewed him. And then he invited me to Wrigley Field to sit in the booth with him and Lou Boudreaux. I was 15 years old. And so there I am sitting next to Jack Brickhouse, who's doing WGN television. I'm sitting with Lou Boudreaux and Vince Lloyd. They're doing the game. And Lou Boudreaux never watched the game. The entire time he had his binoculars on all the pretty ladies in Wrigley Field, which are, you know, there's more of them now because there's just more people at the games all the time now than back in the day. And he was on the phone to the racetrack the whole time. And so if you ever listened to Vince Lloyd and Lou Boudreaux, you always wondered why Boudreaux seemed to be a little bit lost. And I never knew before I sat right behind him in the WGN radio booth at Wrigley Field.
And Glenn, the crazy thing, that's my office. I mean, that booth, that hasn't changed much, I'm guessing, since you were there. That's my office for 81 days out of the year. And it's every day I have the same routine. When the Cubs are home, I get to the park about 4 hours before the game, and I just put myself upstairs in the booth, and I go down, and before I even talk to any of the players, I walk inside the Cubs clubhouse, and I walk down the tunnel, I come out the steps, and there, to me, is God's country. I just see that beautiful ivy, and I see that well-manicured grass at Wrigley Field that never gets old, and I do that every single day. And that's something I hope to keep doing the rest of my life.
You just might do that. I mean, you could be around as long as Brickhouse. I mean, that's an amazing thing. He's 29 years old, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking with Corey Provis, who is the radio man for the Chicago Cubs on WGN Radio. How does a guy get that kind of gig at 29 years old?
You know, I really people keep saying that you're very lucky, and you know, I nod my head, but I really truly believe, Glenn, that you make your own luck. I just kind of always felt that way, and I just hope that all my work that I did, not just at WGN, but the work that I did in small towns. I mean, in broadcasting, you don't just go from college to Chicago. You have to really pay your dues, and I think I've done that. I started in Blacksburg, Virginia, right out of school. I was there. The guy said I'd be there 9 months. I was there for 3 years.
Well, you increased the Jewish population in Blacksburg.
I did, We went from one to two. The other Jew in that town was Bill Roth, who's still there, the longtime voice of the Hokies. So he and I were the only two in that town. Then there was later a guy by the name of Mark Berman, who was a columnist for the Roanoke Times. And he also, so we got three of us. And then they hired Seth Greenberg, the basketball coach. So,
exactly.
Yeah, now it's a metropolis.
Former USF coach right here in Tampa.
Exactly. So, you know, I was there for 3 years doing a variety of different things, not just covering Virginia Tech. but I also did some work in the market locally, and I did morning sports for a group of radio stations. There were five stations in this one building. I did the morning drive sports, and I would be in there from, you know, 5 a.m. until 10 a.m., literally on all these stations every 10 minutes. And so I'd be on one station at 6 o'clock, then I'd run down the hall at 6:10 to this other one, and I'd do that for 4 or 5 hours every day. And I did that for 3 years, and I got some national exposure by working at Sporting News Radio, doing these updates, these Sporting News flashes. I did that for a 2.5 month period because then I got offered a full-time job back down south in North Carolina working for this multimedia rights company called ISP Sports. And at the time, they owned the rights to, about 20 Division I-A schools across the country. And now they have upwards of 45 to 50. So they really are becoming one of the big guys in the game, especially when it comes to college sports. So I was there for 3 years, not only covering Wake Forest, because I was in Winston-Salem, I was doing work for Georgia Tech and still some stuff for Virginia Tech, but I was doing a lot of ACC broadcasting and Big East broadcasting, and did some TV as well for Fox Sports South, and did some work in Houston. Did some Wake Forest baseball games for 3 years and Wake Forest women's basketball. And, you know, I really never was the guy to say no to a lot, even at the time, because prior to that, Glenn, the first 4 years out of school, I was an independent contractor. And so that means that there are no benefits, no insurance, and I was getting paid per event, per game. So if somebody said, you want to do Randolph-Macon women's basketball on the internet and we'll pay you $25, I said, sign me up. That's dinner. And that was my approach to it from the start. And so again, going back to your original question, how did I get here? I think it's because of how aggressive I was out of school. I was not one that said, okay, when I graduate, I'm only going to be in Chicago. I'm only going to be in New York or LA. I was going wherever I can get work.
Right.
And that work happened to be Blacksburg, Virginia. And I took it, and I just, I didn't say no to a lot early on. And thankfully, 8, 9 years later, that led me to WGN.
And tell the beautiful humans, Corey, the story about how you continued to follow up at WGN that you told me off the air, because I think this is so important as a key ingredient to success.
You can hear the train going by, Glenn. That's the beauty of living in the city of Chicago, the elevated train. Sorry, every now and then you might hear.
No, we like it. The only better thing would be to do the interview right from Wrigley Field, you know.
Or
organ in the background. That would have been good.
Yeah, we'll get Gary Cressy on the organ, sure. What I always did when I graduated, Glenn, going back to 2000 when I graduated from school, you know, I knew GN was where I wanted to be at some point, and certainly what I did at the start was I just called over there, and, you know, the email was just getting, I guess, becoming a new medium, if you will, at the time, and so I was still big on phone calls, and so I just called over to Dave Ennett, who was then the sports director and still is right now at GN. I just introduced myself to him, and I said, I know there's nothing open, but I'd love to, you know, come by, introduce myself, and drop off a copy of my demo, and get any critique that you may have, it would be greatly appreciated. So I went over there, I met with him, I met with David Kaplan, another guy that works in the sports department.
Another Klein family friend.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you know
he
that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Good man.
His ex-wife, Edie, is the daughter of my parents' best friends.
Okay. Yeah, he's a good man.
Yeah, I love David.
And so, we just talked for about an hour. And then I left, and then every, you know, couple times a year, I would always just kind of, you know, shoot them an email. Here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm doing. Please, you know, keep me in mind if anything comes open. So, you know, even though it was 9 years ago that I first met Dave Ennett, Dave Kaplan in person, I never forgot them, and I never let them forget me, because I was constantly, you know, keeping them up to date as far as my progress. I wish them always nothing but the best before the Cubs season started. Have a great year. And I would always send them something around the holidays. So that helped, that it wasn't all of a sudden when this job came open that they were like, wait a minute, where's this guy been? But they knew what I was doing. They knew that, you know, I was doing Division I football and basketball at the time and what I had been doing the years prior. So I wasn't a total stranger. I didn't just come out of nowhere once again when the job appeared.
Well, it's why I always talk about in my seminars the importance of follow-through. You know, life and sports are so akin. This is why we love sports, is because it's such a good metaphor for life. And in sports, you're always trying to get something from point A to point B. You're a shortstop, you're trying to get the ball to first base. You're a quarterback, you're trying to get it into your wide receiver's hands. You're a golfer, you're trying to get the golf ball into the hole. If you don't follow through in everything, shooting a basketball, everything demands follow through. If you do not follow through, the ball is going to go, but it's not going to go where you want it to go. And that's how communication is. When people don't return phone calls, when they don't stay in touch like you did with Dave Bennett, you're communicating something, but not what you want to communicate. And that's a perfect example of follow-through and the successful outcome of a good follow-through. But all right, so Corey, so how did the WGN thing actually finally come to be, and how did you find out about it, and how excited were you?
I finally, you know, I got word around, you know, the Super Bowl this past season, I guess actually, yeah, this past Super Bowl. You know, when the Bears were in it, obviously playing the Colts, I got word that Andy Mazur, who was my predecessor here, was a finalist for the San Diego Padres play-by-play job. So at that point, I got my demo ready. Again, I was being proactive in that. I was just, okay, if he gets it, I don't want to just say, okay, he got it, then get to work on my demo. When I got word that he was a finalist, I got all my stuff ready to go. And then sure enough, right after the Super Bowl, because he was covering the game for WGN, he got offered the job that following Wednesday. And that day, I overnighted my demo. In the meantime, but, you know, Dave Ennett and Dave Kaplan, they knew I was interested because I sent them some emails again. And,
right.
You know, so I was ready to go. And I just needed to get confirmation that Andy Mazur got the job, and sure enough, he did. And then it became a long process, Glenn. It became almost about a 6-7 week deal. Where I send my stuff in, they got back to me, they asked for some more, I sent some more in. Then that led to a bunch of phone interviews and then face-to-face interviews, both with GN, and then the last hurdle I had to, you know, kind of jump over was meeting the Cubs front office. And at the time, they were in spring training at Mesa. So the Cubs, Mike Lafrano, the senior VP of the Cubs, called me and he said, we want to fly you out to Mesa to visit with us and to meet not with just myself but with John McDonough, the president, and actually get to meet Pat and Ron and spend some time with them because that was important, obviously. And so I did all of that, and, you know, again, I had a good feeling about it, Glenn, because, you know, I was living in Birmingham at the time, and Birmingham, you didn't get many direct flights to many places, but ironically enough, it was a direct flight to Phoenix, Southwest Airlines. So if that wasn't a sign that this thing might, you know, work out, I don't know what.
I like
be.
Those kind of signs. That's a Cubs sponsor too, Southwest Airlines.
Yeah, Southwest Airlines, exactly.
Yeah,
So it took about 7 weeks, and finally I met John McDonough out there on a Sunday, and I flew back to. I didn't know anything at that point. I flew back to Birmingham, got in late Sunday night, early Monday morning, got a workout in. I got a call around noon Monday afternoon from Dave Bennett, and he officially offered me the job. And then he asked me, and again, I was living in Birmingham, he asked me if I could meet the team in Vegas on Thursday. Well, now I had to pack up my stuff. I was never coming back to Birmingham. So I got all that done somehow, some way, and 2 days later, after getting the job, I was driving back to Chicago, and I unpacked. It was an 11-hour drive. Repacked, and the next day I was on a flight to Vegas, and I haven't stopped since. So, you know, I haven't had a Saturday off in about 13 months. So I'm long overdue. I'm looking forward to once the season's over.
Well, let's hope the season extends for a while, shall we?
I agree. If I get that Saturday off in late November, that's fine by me.
That's we're talking with Corey Provis, the Chicago Cubs announcer, and you've got a very unique situation at WGN because you actually get to do an inning of play-by-play every game. I mean, that's highly unusual. How did that work out?
It was just part of Pat's deal, Pat's contract. He started a brand new four-year contract this year, and that was something he added to his contract. He said, "I want to come back. Obviously, I love, you know, where I'm at, but I would like to, you know, get an inning off." And that's something that they all worked out.
Another incredible fortuitous event for you because you get to do major league play-by-play every game, and then Pat took sick for a little while.
Yeah, that was the crazy thing is that Pat, you know, I mean, you know, Pat's been a big league broadcaster for 25 years, and he had not missed a game, a single game, in the last 18 years since his first daughter was born. That was the last time he missed a game, And sure enough, I've been on the job 4.5 months, and we were in St. Louis, and Pat looks like Casper the Ghost. He just looks pale. He doesn't look good. And this was about a half hour before we went out there with pregame. And he said to me, "Corey, I can't do it." And so, yeah, so that one game turned out to be three. So, again, I've been on the job 4.5 months, and here I did three Cub games, and yet Pat hadn't missed a game in 18 years. Just, you know, Johnny on the spot, and I happen to be here, and, yeah, I got to call three complete Cub games.
Well, we are going to talk about the Cubs today, ladies and gentlemen. Just hold your horses. We'll get there. Don't worry. This is Glenn Klein online. We're talking with Corey Provis, who is the youngest play-by-play broadcaster in Major League Baseball, also a former Kamenomenee camper of ours. And, of course, the Kamenomenee pipeline got a hold of this right away because lots of Cub fans in the thousands and tens of thousands of people that have been a member of the Kamenomenee family, Menominee having celebrated our 80th anniversary this last summer. And so we're very excited for you. But I'm down here in Tampa. And, of course, don't get WGN Radio. You can't get the games on the Internet. So I had not heard you yet. But I'm talking to people about it in Wisconsin. Cubs fans, just complete strangers, and I'm telling them about you. And they're like, "Oh, yeah, he's really good. He's really good." And this is completely no connection to Menominee, no connection to you, no connection to me, just strangers who I met that were Cub fans. We were watching the game up in northern Wisconsin or wherever. And then I got a full-time gig as a life coach with a company called Birchwood Lumber and Veneer in Wisconsin, a former counselor of yours, as a matter of fact, Cody Wickersheim. You remember Cody?
Sure do.
Yeah, I work for him now, and okay. As well. So I had to get a vehicle up there because I'm up there about 10 days every month or so, 10 days of 2 weeks. So I get XM Satellite. So finally, I get to hear you. And you know what? Those people were right. You're really good, Corey.
I appreciate it.
You are really, and I am not just blowing smoke up your tuchus. I mean, you are a really already an accomplished play-by-play man, and it is awesome. You paint the picture great. You have great chemistry with Santo. He kind of takes you under his wing. It's really cute, and plus the guys on TV, Casper and Bremley, talk so highly of you. And I'm just so proud of you. I can't, you can hear it in my voice, but I cannot tell you how excited I am for you. You're living the dream, dude. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
You know, I don't take it for granted for a second. I wake up every day, and I'm so thankful for this job that I've been given. And more importantly than that, Glenn, I'm back home with my family. And that's a real important part of this, because when I was in college, the station I was working at, it wasn't a student station. We didn't just, go to dead air during the holidays and during semester break. I was there a lot. I wasn't home Thanksgiving. So this is really the first time since I was a senior in high school that Chicago's home.
Well, so you got to see your brother, John, every so often?
I see my brother, and my nephew. I was with him today for a while, and things like that. I've missed dearly.
You have to put up with Johnny Probe a little bit, is what you're saying.
Yes, I do. That's a full-time job on the phone.
Indeed. Another great man in his own right, John Provis. All right, so now, you're at Wrigley Field every day. Have you done Take Me Out to the Ball Game yet?
I have not. I've worked it out that the engineer, who was part of our crew in radio, Matt Bolt, we told the higher-ups that if a game ever gets to 21 innings, that we would like to sing the stretch. So we'll get there at some point.
No, I know you will. I know you will. Look forward to that, I'm sure. We got lots of emails. I don't know if we're going to be able to get time to them all. But the email address is coach@glennkleinonline.com, as always, coach.
Yeah, Glenn, I'm sorry, man. I got about 5 more minutes left.
That's all we got. And so we're going to run up against it. All right, so let's talk about the Cubbies. Game and a half in front of the Brewers in first place. Huge series coming up. Alfonso Soriano, which, by the way, my son Joe and I were at a game against the Phillies a few weeks ago. I've been to hundreds of games at Wrigley Field, and I have never seen a player play to the fans like this guy does.
He's great. He's just great.
He comes up with a lame quad. He's been out for, he went on the DL. He's been out for a couple of weeks now, right?
Yeah, August 6th, yeah.
And what is the Cubs' record since he's been out?
They're just a couple games under 500. I'm not sure if it's 11 and 13 or something like that. They're just a couple games under 500.
Well, so
9 and 12.
So they've struggled. And fortunately, the Brewers have too.
Yes, that's the amazing thing.
Well, here's this comes from Philip from Juneau, Alaska. Huge Cubs fan, he says. He says, Corey, is this the year?
I'd like to think so. Again, I'm one of those fans. I said, this has been my team my whole life. I'm not just some guy who just joined, you know, who jumped in the bandwagon. This has always been my team. There's a couple of things that I like about this team that leads me to believe this could be the year. I love the bullpen. I flat out love the bullpen.
You love Ryan Dempster as a closer?
Yeah, the guy's been fine. The guy's blown two saves all year.
Yeah.
Two saves. I mean, Francisco Cordero and Jose Valverde, the two guys who lead the National League in saves, they've blown a combined 8 or 9.
He makes it interesting.
Dempster's blown two.
He makes it interesting, though, sometimes.
He does make it fun. He never makes it dull. I'll give you that. But, I don't mind him. I love the way that Lou works it with Marmol in the 7th and Howry in the 8th and then Dempster in the 9th. So all he's asking the starters is just give me 6 innings. He's not asking starters to give him 8, 9 innings every time. The starting pitching, for the most part, has been great. Marquis has been up and down at times, so has Marshall and Hill. Zambrano is in a bit of a tough spot right now, but Lilly has been fantastic.
Zambrano didn't respond really well to signing that $90 million deal, apparently.
You know, he loves the big stage. He's pitching Wednesday. I expect him to be just absolutely on point Wednesday against Milwaukee. So I love the pitching. I like the bench. I like the jolt of energy that the young guys
have provided. How awesome is Terrio? That guy is the man. He's the man.
Yeah. He's a great Southern guy. You know, played at he and Fontenot were teammates in college together. Terrio was the shortstop and Fontenot the second baseman. And actually Brad Hoff, who plays right field for the Rockies, was the starting first baseman on that same LSU team that won the College World Series in 2000. So
awesome.
You don't see that too often.
Well, go ahead, brother.
Terrio's a great guy, a fun guy to have around, and he's done a terrific job in the leadoff spot and in place of Soriano. But he'll be back in the 2 spot tomorrow night.
I don't understand why they don't leave him in the leadoff and let him set the table a little bit for Soriano. I mean, the guy hits home runs.
Yeah, that's been a popular question around town, you know, all week long as you know, Soriano's return was getting closer. And you know, the answer is that Soriano's best bats have always been when he's been in that leadoff spot.
Well, I think Sweet Lou Piniella, who, of course, is the manager down here at Tampa Bay, and I got to spend some time with him personally, he knows what he's doing. There's no doubt about that.
He doesn't let the players run the show.
He's won everywhere. He's been given the tools to win, and I'm very optimistic. But I have to get this on the record, and I know you got to go, Corey. I have been a Cubs fan my entire life. I used to go and freeze my butt off on opening day. I used to take, if I couldn't get tickets, I used to go stay home to watch opening day. I used to go to the Skokie Swift by myself. My mom would drop me off when I was 12 years old. I've been to hundreds of games at Wrigley Field. And we all know about the fact that the Cubs are nearing 100 years without a World Series championship. And everybody says it's the curse of the Billy Goat. But they repented for the Billy Goat. They had the guy's great-grandson come out with the Billy Goat. It's already done. But I figured it out. Name another team at any level, any sport, that when they lose, they hoist a loser banner over their arena proclaiming that they are losers. They have got to burn that L flag. Keep the W flag, of course. I think we've got it figured out. If there's not a W flying over Wrigley Field at the end of the game, that we've lost the game. Burn the freaking L flag. I'm telling you, Corey, that is the key. And you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. When they're going to have this series, you get Steve Dahl and a bunch of old disco records in center field, right? And you burn the disco. No, you know that story, folks, right? With the disco demolition night at Comiskey Park, and they blew it up, and there was a riot. No, but you burn the L. Get that to somebody. You know the people that need to hear this. Get them to burn that L flag. That will end the curse, guaranteed.
I hope so. I'll pass it along to the marketing coach. How about that?
Listen, that's all a guy can ask. But I had to get that on the record on this August 27th night with the Cubs, 27th evening, with the Cubs a game and a half in first place. Let's keep our fingers crossed. And do you have a home run call yet, Corey? Do you have like
not really. You know, I don't force it. You know, if it comes, I just kind of, you know, the one I've gone to a few times is, you know, Lee swings and puts a charge into one deep left center, something like that. But I don't force it.
If one is meant to be, like hey hey or holy cow, it'll just happen naturally, just like
exactly. But yeah, I don't force anything. So
except your entire career, which is awesome. Yes. to watch blossom. Hey, thanks for the time, Corey. We'll have to do it again sometime.
All right, buddy. Take care, Glenn.
Great talking to you. That's Corey Provis, ladies and gentlemen, the WGN broadcaster for the Chicago Cubs. I've had fun this last half hour. Hope you have too. Tomorrow night, we will have Michael Williams on for a special Tuesday night edition of the Glenn Klein Online webcast. And then Thursday night, who was scheduled earlier this evening and then had a commitment come up, Mike Dunleavy, another former Camp Menominee camper, who is now, of course, a member of the Indiana Pacers of the NBA, former Duke University star, won a national championship. That'll be both at 9 o'clock Eastern time, Tuesday and Thursday, right here on Glenn Klein Online. Thanks for participating. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our executive producer and engineer extraordinaire, Patrick L. Jones. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online. Shalom, everybody.